chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Ayatollah Khamenei led a regime that brutalized its own people, launched attacks around the world for almost 40 years. So is the president right to take him out?
No, you're right about the Ayatollah. He was a brutal dictator. This is a murderous regime. But at the same time, it posed no imminent threat of attack to the United States.
This is a disaster. It is illegal. And the president is obligated under the Constitution to come to Congress and ask for an authorization of military force. He wouldn't get that authorization if he asked for it. Congress wouldn't vote to give him the permission to do it, but he's obligated to come to Congress.
So two voices of not great reason from the Democrat side, but there you have Senator Chris Murphy. And you also had, of course, Adam Schiff before that, George Stephanopoulos, and who was it talking to Chris Murphy? Face the Nation, so that was Margaret Brennan. And joining us now, a little bit out of his normal time element, I really appreciate him being so flexible. I also appreciate him being available on Saturday when we talked to him when we were live during the breaking news event on Saturday. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman for District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. I thought you put up a pretty good post on this question about war powers, declaration of war, the ability to use force and all of that that the president has. So I'll give you the chance to answer. Obviously, the Democrats are trying to make the case that the president is not operating within the law. I think that he is. I know you think that he is. But can you explain why?
Well, so on my post, if you'll go to my social media, you see the play-by-play. How the notice was given. There's so many days that has to have a pullback of troops. But here's the dilemma. Those Democrats, once they get on national TV solo, their base has Trump derangement syndrome. When they go on TV, they have to bash the president. On the flip side, they know that this is an issue that is important and that you have to have a denuclearized Iran. One of the handful of times that the Democrats stood up at the State of the Union, this was one of them when Trump, you know, brought it up about denuclearizing Iran. A whole bunch of Democrats stood up. They couldn't afford to be seen sitting down when the camera panned the audience for the world to see who stood with that philosophy or not. So, you know, again, these guys are talking out both sides of their mouth. The ones that are on TV demanding the War Powers Act, I guarantee you they were on MS Now or on CNN when they did that statement.
What I know, obviously, there's several senators who say they've got a War Powers Resolution that they're going to bring. And I know you're in the House, not in the Senate, but still both houses, both chambers would have to vote on this. Do you expect to hear a War Powers discussion on the House floor? I know you've been involved in briefings and, you know, obviously you have a very slim majority in the House. What do you expect Congress to do, if anything, about what's going on in Iran this week?
Well, they're going to, you know, make every effort to bring it up on the floor of the House. Again, it's one of those messages that sounds like that we have to, you know, bring Congress in to approve it. But that with the actions of the president, then we're totally legal within his constitutional rights.
Yeah, what he's got 48 hours, he has to notify you. He's got 60 days to withdraw if or to stop using military action if he does not get an authorization for the use of military force. Plus, it's a pipe dream to think that even a War Powers Resolution does anything because you'd have to both houses would have to pass, both chambers have to pass it. Then the president has to sign it. He's obviously not going to sign it. He vetoes. There's no chance you've got an override capability. So this is all posturing at this point. Do you expect an AUMF? Do you expect an authorization for the use of military force? I would expect, or I'd hope for it.
Well, I mean, I would, as a Congress, I think if you had an up-down vote forcing up this authorization force, he's going to get it. At least I think so, just simply because. I still got this chest cover. There is support for what's been done, and I couldn't be more proud of the performance of our military.
No, I really agree with that. And, you know, it's one of the things you actually mentioned on Saturday is that I think we take great pride. You know, this is obviously a combined forces operation with Space Command, Air Force, you know, Navy and Marine aviators, you know, ground-based missile strikes, all of the things that are happening. But a significant portion of that is, you know, we start training aviators here, and Naval Education Training Command does a lot of training related to what's happening in the Navy right now across the world. So, you know, we have great pride in the operation that is succeeding right now in Iran, right?
Yeah, look, the men and women that are pulling off these missions, they got their expertise, their know-how, their skill, the ability to execute right here in Northwest Florida. So, I mean, just all across the panhandle, this is where the skills, I couldn't be more prouder. But more importantly, I think for those spouses and those families, thank you for sharing your heroes with us as they're in harm's way. Trying to do what's right to create a peaceful world.
Congressman, there are three different kinds of questions that I'm hearing about, you know, what does this mean to me right now? Question number one, what does this mean about, you know, my 401k and the economy? Number two, what does this mean for the price of fuel? And number three, you know, what does this mean for my safety in terms of going about my daily life? And even if I'm traveling, you know, I had one friend who's going to be traveling in England, and she says, is it safe to travel? I'm like, it's safe to travel. I mean, I wouldn't go to Bahrain, but yeah, you're fine in England. But what are you hearing? What are you being told?
So on our website, we've got the latest State Department advisory, so you can get the play-by-play there. Oil prices, this is the way it's been dealt with. Oil prices already have seen an initial tick up. The OPEC has already sent out a message that they're increasing production. So with this already being anticipated, OPEC is trying to flatten the curve of any increase in the cost of oil by increasing production.
That is a great note. And Saudi Arabia has even said, of course, major member state of OPEC and major potential supplier of petroleum, they have already said that they'd even be willing to join military operations with us based on what Iran continues to do against them or anybody else in the region. So the fact that, yep. You know, we've basically split OPEC down the middle with Iran on the one side and, you know, other suppliers on the other side is, I mean, I think that's a tremendous win for us. What are you hearing? Oh, you said the State Department stuff is posted on your website about security advisories. And then, you know, what about domestically? What about domestically, terror plots or that kind of stuff that people might be, you know, people, well, they ask this question.
Yeah. So you can imagine there are security alerts all over. I know we were briefed yesterday by the speaker. There's going to be a heightened sense of security around Washington, D.C. simply because it's a high-profile target. So work will be a little bit different, but, you know, we're in a good place. It's our men and women that I care about in uniform that are at the tip of the spear with us.
You know, I thought it was interesting because I know some people ask the question, well, is it right for the United States military to engage in political assassination of a military leader? Well, in this case, I mean, yeah, I think the justification is clear for what this man has done. But look, they've been trying to kill Trump. I mean, constantly. This is Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham all confirmed that, you know, it's not like Iran has been this, you know, docile, harmless, do nothing actor locally, domestically, or, you know, globally, right?
100%. I mean, they're we're always tracking those type of threats. But, I mean, I don't know if there's been a president of the United States that's had so many attempts on his life as this guy. And then as we start, you know, peeling back the onion, you find out where, you know, there are those ties of these radical groups that have been the genesis of their passion of wanting to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, you got instances like what took place out in Texas, you know, the loss of life there and with this crazy that has Islamic ties. I mean, just all the way around. I mean, you need to keep your head on a swivel, you know, and if you feel like you're in a place that's, you know, potentially going to be of concern, then you need to be, you know, thinking about the safety of your family. I mean, don't be a knucklehead being in places where, you know, it's you know, a heightened sense of concern.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, look, I have advised for years and do practice myself. Get a concealed carry weapon, carry it, and always pay attention. And not just because somebody Amen. Who's upset about what's Amen. Going on in the Middle East, but just, you know, anybody. There's crazy people all over the place. And, you know, the world needs more people who are going to be sane and responsible, right? What do you think is the future here? What do you think is the – I mean, we're in the first 2 days, okay? So this is very early moments. But what do you think is going to happen in Iran? And, you know, I personally am not concerned about boots on the ground. I think this president, Pete Hegseth, they all know better than anything like that. But – you know, some people are saying we've seen this movie before. But what do you think is going to happen in Iran? What do you think the future of this engagement is?
So I think it's important, as I'm sure supply chains are being studied. You know, Iran doesn't have an unlimited supply of munitions to do this. I can't see Russia, being able to fight multiple fronts at one time. So, Putin came out and condemned what took place, but that's about the best thing that he could do. He couldn't do anything else more than that. Does China try to do anything? The good thing about it is India is one of China's harshest critics. So I don't see India, being supportive or allowing anything to take place. And it's interesting is Israel's ties to India have strengthened because how their trade agreements have started to really prosper from munitions, you name it. So the world is really closing in around Iran, and it's no different than what we've seen with the response of the other Middle Eastern states that have participated, because Iran is shooting at everyone. Well, I don't know if they realize that you shoot at everyone, everybody's going to shoot back.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost, I'm trying to remember who made the point, but one of the talking heads on Sunday, one of the senators made the point that if you ever wanted to understand the difference between us and them, we are deliberately targeting only military targets. We might make a mistake, We might miss something, but we are deliberately targeting only military targets of necessity in order to accomplish very specific military goals. They are literally proving that they do not care. Indiscriminate death is their goal, as they are retaliating wildly against everybody, especially against citizens and civilians, because that's who they have the ability to attack back. They're proving the exact thing that we say, which is we fight restrained wars for a specific purpose. They engage in terrorism for, religious lunacy, essentially.
Well, I truly believe Trump does not support loss of life. Right. I mean, he's trying to do everything he can to just basically neutralize them, make sure that as many of the facilities are in place so those societies can rise up, as he's saying, rise up and take your country back. And so, it's a large task, but he's definitely trying to give that opportunity to those, including, unfortunately, the memory of 30,000 that have been slaughtered by the government.
Yeah. Last question on Iran right now, and it has to do with the future of global international agencies. The UN has clearly been not effective. They're better than the League of Nations, but maybe not by much. Is it really time to start talking about a third stage of international organization, something that would have more capability? Maybe it doesn't have to involve the entire world. Maybe it's, like NATO Plus or something like that. But is it time to start really talking about a replacement for the UN? Or do you think the UN has the ability to justify its existence ongoing?
No, I think the president's gotten the attention of NATO with what he's been doing with the Board of Peace. And the whole point is NATO's gotten so bureaucratic, has gotten so woke, they have lost focus of what their mission should be. They just continue to consume, hundreds of millions of U.S. dollars, and I don't know what their work product really is. So this is where the president has gone out and said, we're going to hit the reset button and start to move forward with a whole new solution. And the president has complimented NATO, but at the same time, it's kind of like a backhanded compliment because, why would he start up the Board of Peace if NATO wasn't doing their job? It's because they're not. So, I appreciate what the president's doing. Competition is a good thing, and competition, especially when you may be losing U.S. resources, is another way to get their attention.
We only have about a minute left, but I did want to give you a chance to talk about the State of the Union. You wore your big red hat. Trump was right about everything. You gave your blue angel 3D yep. printed to Pete Hegseth. Kind of neat things. I thought the speech was fantastic. It hit all the points. He's an entertainer, and he did his thing.
Yeah, the president hit all the right messages, at least in my opinion. I'm a little biased. But that was my first State of the Union. I thought it was incredibly well done. The guy's a machine here. He's almost 80 years old, and he was 1 hour and 48 minutes without a pause. I don't even think he ever took a sip of water. But saw a lot of history being made. And I think it was very important to note throughout all of this, he has been constantly publicly telegraphed, even at the highest level of the State of the Union, of what's going to take place in Iran. So, again, unless you've been living under a rock, and for some of those members of Congress that probably have, this was coming.
Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, as always, thank you for always being available, and especially over the last couple of days being so flexible. I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, sir.
All right, buddy. Take care.